A great thanks to the Sainsbury team leading us to sing those great hymns, particularly the classical one, or as I have decided to follow Jesus. So for those of all of us who have decided to follow Jesus, remember there's what? No turning back. It's great to come back to the church, particularly with my wife today, because we were here in the, in the preliminary year of the church, where my wife and me, and my family, and with Reverend Warren's family, start a Bible study group at Reverend May's Central Baptist Church. First Baptist. So that's been a long time. So it's great to see you people, although when we started just a Cantonese Bible study group. Well, I came to Toronto in 1970 and then returned in 1977. And then I came back to 2014. Of course, during those years, I was back for 3 years for my study. And I spent about 40 years in Hong Kong teaching, and then I've been a principal for two schools for 30 years. So in 2014, we came back, and I felt a little bit cultural shock, you know, because after living so many years in Hong Kong. The pace of living is much slower. And general people are more quite complacent, not really competitive. The living environment is style quite different. And also I find a very kind of funny thing. It's happening in Hong Kong, but not very often, right? Because basically Hong Kong is Chinese people, right? But here, I found that whenever you look at a license plate, car license plate, if you see a 12811812816868 or ever 938 and so forth, the magic word, the magic letter, number, 8, then you know that the driver or the owner must be a what? Chinese. Yeah. There are so many changes after these years. Of course, the old town may not have much change, but north of Steele, there used to be kind of farmland, really not populated, but now it's really fully populated. No more just Toronto, we have GTA. So there are many, many changes. And of course, Brampton changed a lot. And I was told that, you know, in GTA, there are about 200 Chinese churches. And with over, you know, maybe 70-something parachurch, Chinese parachurch organization. Compared to the year I came, it's only 3 Chinese churches. And only one Chinese parachurch organization. So there's a great changes. But one thing doesn't change. When I was here in the 70s, we were talking about extending our subway line from Finch to Steele. But still, we are still talking. That hasn't been changed in half a century. So, you know, when we move from one place to another place, definitely there is cultural shock. At least we experience cultural and environmental differences. But we are so glad that the Word of God is beyond culture, right? It's not bounded by culture. They apply to all people, all ages, over time and space. And how God called Moses thousands of years ago, still valid in our time. And I'm sure that it's still applicable to all of us. Exodus 3:1-12, Sharon just read, is a very familiar text to us. We may have read so many times, and a lot of sermons have been spoken on these verses. But again, I would like to go through with you the passage today, but only focusing on God's calling, how God called Moses, and how Moses responds. As today, that still God is calling us. And the most important thing is that how we respond. And I hope that for those people who are still seeking God, even God is calling you, that calling you home, calling you to reconcile with Him. I hope that this passage will speak to you today. And for those, we are Christians, right? We have been, follow Jesus for years. Let me today's passage speak to you that you can respond to God's calling in every stage of your life and then in the years to come. So, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about that Moses was kind of tending the flock in the wilderness and in the place called Midian. And of course, he was not owner of the flock, but the father-in-law. And it was in the wilderness, and then he brought the flock to a mountain called what? Mount Horeb. And this is called the mountain of God. Now, how can we go back so fast? Okay. We all know Moses, right? Hebrew, adopted by Pharaoh's sister, raised up in Egyptian palace. He must be educated, well-trained. I think probably when he grew up, he must be strong, smart, and many, right? But one day, he killed an Egyptian because that Egyptian tried to beat up a Hebrew. And of course, then Pharaoh wants to kill him, and he end up in the what? In the wilderness. He ran away from Egypt and went to Midian. And then he met his wife, Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, is a Midian priest. And then he settled down there. And he settled down there for what? 40 years. And basically, he became a shepherd. And that's the scenario started here. Now, we may ask, where is Midian or where is Mount Horeb? And then how can we call the mountain of God? And you see on the map, the blue arrow is pointing to the place where the mountain is. And if we read through the four books of Moses from Exodus to Deuteronomy, we see that Mount Horeb, in fact, is the same as Mount Sinai. The same mountain. And why you call it the mountain of God? Because there God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And then, where is Midian? It's on the other side. And then you look at the map. That means basically Moses ran far, far away from Egypt. From Egypt all the way to Midian. And then the way he tended the flock is also far away from his home. In those days, the shepherd, when they really tended the flock, they left home for many, many, many days or even years. Right? And that's where Midian and Mount Horeb. And Moses there, he spent 40 years, basically, every day, looking after the flock of the sheep. And what had Moses learned in those 40 years? You can imagine. How many of you have been in Canada for 40 years? Not many, I guess. Right? What have you learned here? The same thing, Moses being in a foreign land, and every day, basically, he was in the wilderness. Not with people, but with what? The flock of sheep. And you can imagine what things he had learned. To me, immediately, I can think of two things that he must have learned. Patience, right? And humility. Particular humility. I'm sure that maybe for the first couple of years, he probably will be, you know, bored to death, right? Because in the old days, he was in the Egyptian palace of glamorous life, you know. He could have anything he wanted. But now, being in the wilderness, so empty, deserted, and probably difficult to see people. But he was there for 40 years. So he must be a very, very what? Patient and humble man. And in fact, if we look at Numbers 12, 3, can you read together? How does this describe Moses? 1, 2, 3. I'm sure that probably this is the only verse in the Bible that God really praised a person, particularly on humility. So humble. And God said that he is more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. What a humble man he is. Why God really made him so humble? I'm sure that since he's so humble, then he is ready to receive God's calling. To what? To embark on a very, very great and difficult mission. And you know what's what? You know what's that, right? After 40 years in the wilderness, with a quiet, humble heart, in a quiet environment, is ready to hear God's calling. I'm sure that if you want to hear God's calling, basically we must be very, very humble. Right? Otherwise, probably we cannot hear God's calling. And here in verse 2, he says that then Moses saw what? A burning bush, right? He saw burning bush. And of course, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire. And this bush does not burn up. He was curious, Then he said that, and then I will go over and see that strange sight. And then says the Lord called him, right? Moses, Moses. Now, from here, we can see that God, I'm not used to this one, sorry. We can see that God. He said, God called Moses. God took the initiation. Why? Because God had prepared him already. In 40 years, God had prepared Moses ready to receive his call. And I'm sure Moses will change from a very impulsive person to a mature one. He was from a very proud, arrogant person to a very humble man. And that's the time that God called him. We often complain that God does not call us or give us a clear vision. Perhaps we're not ready yet. Or we are too proud and feel that we doesn't need God's guidance or instruction. St. Augustine once said that God wants to give us something, but our hands are full of things that we got no space for God to put things in. So we may be like that, so that we cannot hear God's calling. Many times we will ask God, who is my future partner? Tell me what to do. Which school I should go? Which work I should take? Or show me a sign so that I can go forward. But we got no answer from God. You hear nothing, right? You probably ask why. Is God there? Is God listening to my prayer? I'm sure that God listens to your prayer. And the reason that you hear nothing from God is because you are not ready yet. You are still too occupied with your own things. I'm sure that God also calls us. God calls us, God calls everyone, He wants to call us home, to reconcile with Him. He wants us to be under His care. He wants us to be His children. Are we ready? When I was studying my doctorate in U of T, there was a guy above me. I got office on the 7th floor. My department was on the 7th floor. He was on the 8th floor. He also came from Hong Kong. He was a teacher like me before. So one day I bumped into him. I talked with him, I shared the gossip with him. And he told me that, oh, no way. He said, oh, a lot of people share with me the gospel for many years. But he says, well, I don't feel any need. So I said, well, okay. So we end a conversation. And then a week later, suddenly he knocked at my door. And then I opened it and saw him. And then he told me, and that really surprising news. He told me that last night he was so bored because he was all by himself, in Toronto. He was so down, so he saw a Bible on his bookshelf, full of dust. He took it up, he turned it over, it's to Romans. And then he read through the book of Romans. And then after that, he said that, I just feel that God is calling me. So he knelt down and prayed and accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. That's a miracle to me, right? A week ago, he said, no way, no need. But a week later, God calls him. And later on, he joined a church. He married a very good sister. And then he graduated and then went to teach in a university in New Zealand. And since then, he has been a very faithful servant in the church. So God calls every one of us. He wants us to be home, to be with Him, because we are His created images. And God also, God also calls us to do what He wants us to do. Now He may speak to us. God may speak to us through the Holy Spirit, the right. But on the other hand, God may speak to us through His words. Remember 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16? What's that? He says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Some people say the Bible is a love letter to us because God is our lover. We are God's lover, right? We often met as somebody, including a family member, or brother and sister, or even hate them because they just don't understand us. Or we may disagree with them. But the Bible reminds us that we have to love one another. With the love of brother and sister, God called us to love one another. God may call us through the people around us. God may try to tell us this is the way to go. Remember the famous story about Nathan told David? When David killed Uriah and then took his wife Bathsheba as a wife. So basically, David commit what? Murder and what? Adultery. Of course, he was the king. So he could do anything he wants, right? Nobody would dare to tell him that you were wrong. You committed, sin. But Nathan, God called Nathan to tell David that he has sinned against God. I knew a student that she went on mission trip every year. And she went to Thailand for several times. And when she graduated from high school, she told us that because, every time he met the people over there, God seems to speak to him to those people that you are needed here. So then he committed her life to God, said that I would be a missionary to Thailand when I finished my study. And she did. So God called each one of us to do what he wants us to do. But are we ready? Are we ready? God called us to live out our faith, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 clearly tells us that we should not conform to this world. We're going to transform and renew our mind so that we can be what? So that we can really be holy and be a witness to the people. So God really wants us to live our faith at home, in school, in our workplace, in our church, among our friends. God is calling each one of the believers to live out his or her faith on a daily basis. Faith is not something that you just put inside you. Faith is something that you can share with other people. God saved you. God loved you. Again, then you just share this one with other people. Through what? Not just through your words, but through your deeds. So that's very important. Then, when God, Moses saw the burning bush, and then when God called Moses, at the end, what Moses replied? And Moses said, "Here I am. Here I am." What does it mean? When God calls you, when Moses hears God's calling, and Moses runs, "Here I am," what does "here I am" mean? You remember in 1 Samuel chapter 3, talks about that the little boy Samuel was under the caring of the priest Eli, right? And one night, Samuel heard three times that someone is calling his name, "Samuel, Samuel." And then every time he thought that the teachers call him. But of course, his teacher said, "No, I didn't call you." But by the third time, then Eli knows that maybe God is calling Samuel. So He asked Samuel that the next time you hear God's somebody call you Samuel, Samuel, you should say, what? Hear at that speed, Lord, for your servant is listening. So he did. God called Samuel the fourth time. And Samuel responds, speak, for your servant is listening. So here I am means your servant is listening. It's not just listening. If you go to Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, when the Lord calls about Isaiah, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And what Isaiah said, here I am, Samuel. Here I am, Samuel. An action, a response. So here I am, Moses' immediate response. When Moses saw the burning bush, maybe, I don't know, he may be afraid, but he's curious. He went over to look at what? He did not run away. Sometimes God calls us, but we just what? We just run away. So at least Moses wanted to go over and see what's happened. And then when he heard the calling, he responds, here I am. Here I am. So this is very important. Moses' immediate response. And his immediate response by saying here I am indicates that he's ready to listen and ready to act. Are we? How about us? Sometimes we hear God's calling, but we tend to delay and even ignore. Particularly if things you don't like. Particularly if that really, you may hear God's calling, but you said, oh no, no way, I could do it. If one day cause God, you feel that God called you to, hey, spread the gospel to that person. But you may say that, God, I'm not ready. I don't know what to say. Maybe later. Or you may say that, I don't like that person, right? He doesn't deserve, right? So you just give a lot of excuses. God calls us to spend more time with him. You probably tell God that, I'm too busy. I'm going to wait for my life. I'm going to study. I got no time, sorry, God. Maybe next time, when I finish my work, finish my study, when my kids grow up, then I got time. We always tend to delay or even ignore God's calling. Then to verse 5, then God told Moses that he should take off his sandal and say that you are standing on the holy ground. And he reiterated that he is the God of Abraham and the ancestor of Moses. So, why God particularly asked Moses to take off shoes? Because God wants Moses to be holy. Before God, the holy God, can we speak to him? And we need to be holy when God really wants to speak to us. We are willing to follow God. We should be separate from the world. And we should admit that we are sinners. We sin and ask for God's forgiveness. Only a humble man is able to admit their sins and ask for God's forgiveness. Otherwise, that we really cannot hear God's calling. And 7 to 10, I'm going to share this right to you. And then God told Moses that he heard the cries of his people. And then he said, I'm going to deliver them. But who is doing the job? Verse 10. So now go, I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israel, out of Egypt. Now, this is the most important thing. When Moses heard this, what's his response? Although he is willing to listen, and he thought that he's ready to go, ready to add what God caused him to do. But when Moses heard this one, I'm going to send you to deliver my people. Oh boy. And then what he said, God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israel out of Egypt? No way. When God told him the real mission, it seemed to be an impossible mission for Moses. So he said, who am I? No way. Well, I'm nobody. How could I go forward to Pharaoh and then, hey, tell him that to let the Israel go? Pharaoh definitely didn't kill me. You should get somebody else, right? I'm not smart enough. So call a more capable one. He gave all the excuses, right? Well, sometimes we are the same. When really God calls us, even we are willing that, no, you are just scared to death. If one day your sales manager tells you that next year your sales will be 10 times the sales volume of this year, then what is the reaction? Good, I will do it. No, no way. If you're not in grade 11 and your daddy told you that, hey, you must get a scholarship to get into Harvard University, what would you do? You'd be scared to death. Only one day your wife told you, maybe one day your wife told you that, honey, next year, shall we move into a house of 5,000 feet on a 2-acre land? And you look at yourself, my annual income is only 70,000 a year. How could I do that? It's impossible. What is your reaction? You say, oh, let's try. No, you say, no way. God called us to do something that beyond our ability or beyond our imagination, you probably tend to decline. And that's what Moses did. He tried to decline. And then, but God is so good. See that? God, what did God say? I will be with you. Amen. This is a great promise. God tried to affirm Moses that don't be afraid. I will be with you. What does it mean to be with God with you? If you read their history, then after that, Moses, whenever God is with Moses, the Israelites won the war, right? When God is Moses is not afraid. So this is a great promise, God, from God. And God understands the weaknesses of Moses and also understands our weaknesses. Some people, they are afraid to accept Jesus Christ as a personal Savior because they got no courage to give up all their things, like maybe smoking, gambling, or some other, you know, enjoyments or bad habit. Or even cannot resist peer pressure. Or lose their friends and relatives if they accept Jesus as a person. But remember that when God is with us, He will give us strength. When Joshua had to carry on the duty of Moses, He was so afraid. And what did God say? God told Joshua that I will be with you as I was with Moses. So don't be afraid. So when God calls us, don't be afraid. He will give us the strength. There's a good saying that something like this. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the call, right? If you think that you're qualified, God will never call you. It's only if you think that I'm not qualified, I'm just weak, then God will call you. Oh, crap. Oh, that's what you told me, huh? Well, see our last slide. That's our conclusion. Well, so when next time, when you feel that God's calling you, you should respond to God like this. You have chosen me and called me for great things. So I will choose to say yes to your way, your will, and your plans. Amen. Right? Are we able to say amen? Amen. Amen. Thanks God. God bless you.